a resurrection, Lord, for every and each one of us. Would it transform us, Lord, to your image, the image of the Lord Jesus, that when you give us, fill us with your spirit, Lord, and you give us your body and blood, Lord, to be in the same image. We want to be transformed, Lord, to that image, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that your Holy Spirit fill us, Lord, today and speak to every and each one of us through the prayers and intercession of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, St. Mina, Pope Krullus, and all the saints have pleased you since the beginning. Hear us and pray thankfully. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespass against us. And lead us not to temptations, but deliver us from evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for in the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. It's good to be with you and to start Light on Life for the very first time here in this chapel. I hope you guys like it. Isn't stained glass nice? Yeah, we made that last week. Just kidding. No, it was here. Just put the icons. Still a lot of work need to be done around, but we wanted to open it because we had a great privilege of having a bishop last week. So he came and opened an opening ceremony. It was very nice. And that actually in a video on the church's website. Okay, so again, it's good to be with you. It's a treat for me to be here, to escape from big crowd and to be with you guys. It's not a treat for you, of course, but it's okay. You have to sacrifice every now and then, sacrifice everyone, Anthony. Okay, so we're going to talk about something important that is relating to so many things going on in the church these days, and you will hear about it. And you'll figure out in the end what we want to say. It's that slogan that we started with in the beginning of this year, that's not only believing, but also belonging. Not only that we need to believe in God, believe in dogma, believe in certain things, but we do need to belong to something. Everyone wants to belong to something. A football team, for example, you know, can talk about that freely this weekend. Everyone's not here. People sometimes belong to a country, belong to a club, belong to a gang, but people like to belong. Everyone wants to, no one can just live without belonging. It's very important. And actually, God wants us to belong also to a body, which is the body of Christ. We think that God wants us to believe in Him, and that's it. That is not true. God doesn't want you only to believe in Him, but to belong to His body, which is the church. If normal people are longing to belong, then why not us Christians, people believe in Christ? They have this privilege to belong to the church, which is the body of Christ itself, being part of that body. We as Orthodox believe that there is no salvation outside the church. Not only as a church sacraments, coming to church and partaking communion, that's not only the meaning of the church, but actually belonging to a church. You could be in the church every single day, but do not belong to the church or to the body of Christ. That's what we want to understand today, because it's really important. It is amazing, of course, just we want to know why God wants us to belong and where did this come from. Everybody remembers the first and the greatest commandment very well, that Jesus said that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. But we tend to forget the second one, which is just as important, when he said, and the second is like it. I love this. The second is like it. It's the same. It's in the same power and strength, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you ask people, the most common verse in the Bible, what is it? Very famous verse, all Christians know. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. People know that for, you know, by heart, but not a lot of people know the other one, which is 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. John 3:16, the Gospel of St. John. 1 John is the first epistle of John 3:16. It's easy to remember, right? What does it say? 1 John 3:16. Guys, I have technical problems here. Wadimba. Okay. Okay, this is it. Where it says, by this we know love, or we know God, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John 3:16, I have come to save the world. But 1 John 3:16, I have sent you to the world. John 3:16, the Father sent the Son. 1 John 3:16 is the Son had sent us to the world, that we, through being brothers and sisters and through a strong body in the body of Christ, we can make that happen and we can bring people to him. And actually Jesus marked it as the mark for discipleship, where he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So let me ask you a question based on this verse. How do people know that I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? By my believing or by my belonging? How can you tell people about your faith without living that, without practicing that, without showing that? We don't talk about that very much. But to tell you the truth, it was the word that was very famous in the early church. That's how the early church lived. Very famous word, it's called kinonia. What is kinonia? Kinonia is a word called fellowship, but it's not exactly fellowship. So that's the definition, the kinonia, is being as committed to each other as we are to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the life of kinonia and fellowship that the early church had. They lived a great life, you know, loving each other. No one can say that they were in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and they were talking about him and they have his picture everywhere and like they have nothing to talk about except the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't do that. But they did something else. That's how they lived. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was of his own, but they had all things in common. It's really amazing. They weren't saying about the early church, these people were like singing to God all the time. they were like in love with him. We didn't say that. But they were in one accord with each other. And they were laying their lives for each other. No one said, these are my possessions. What I have is for my brother and sister, for everyone. They used to sell everything they have, put the money under the feet of the apostles, and then they decide who has more need for anything. That's amazing. You would think the early church would sound, you know, all about, you know, believing. That's not all about believing. That's all about belonging. And that's practicing actually believing, because there is no way to practice your faith without having someone to have relationship with. Over 50 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another, more than 50 times, one another, is like, or each other, pray for one another, encourage each other, admonish each other, greet each other, serve each other, teach each other, accept each other. So many times, that was the focus in the early church. And that was very obvious in the New Testament. That takes us to something important that we have to practice in the church. As I said, I could be here in this church, for example, every single day, but I don't belong here. We've seen that so many times. I'll give you examples of that. Until I practice something called membership, it's being a member, feeling that I'm a member in a body, or a member in a family. That's why we usually call the family of St. Mark's. Okay? So, until we practice that, then it is still, it's good to hear things about God, God's love, you know, good things, but how do I practice that? So, I'll tell you some stuff today, 4 points about being a member in the body of Christ. The member in the body of Christ have some commitments. There is a difference between the member in the family and the guest. And the only difference between the member of the family and the guest is a commitment. The member in the family is committed to the family. And the more that I'm committed to something, the more I invest in it, the more I become part of it, and it becomes a part of me. But easy come, easy go. Same thing. So, the membership in the body of Christ is not something cheap. It has a bit of a cost. And that's why people don't like it, even though everyone loves to belong. But when it comes to that, commitment is hard. That's why you see people living together and not married. Why? What is the difference? It's commitment. Don't want to commit. Okay? But as we always say, that commitments shape your life. Your commitment, you're committed to sports, is going to show on you, on your health, on your life, on everything. You're committed to something, it's going to shape your life, who you are and how you look like and how you do things. That is the difference. So, what are the commitments of a member in the body of Christ to become truly a member? We'll go this quickly. First item is, the person will say, or I will say, I will protect the unity of my church. Same way I protect the unity of the family. Jesus said, if a household is not united together, it will be destroyed. Any kingdom that's raised against each other will not last. He said, even the devil is united. So how about us, children of God? How to do that? By 3 things. Number one, by acting in love towards each member. Can you see in the back? You can? Okay, good. Okay, we'll have vision test next week. By acting in love toward each member, as it said in 1 Peter 1:22, you should have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. I like this word, deeply from the heart. I use this translation in IV because I like this word, deeply or warmly from the heart. Why you invest in your family, in your household? Because it's an investment. Because it's going to come back to you. Your children, part of you, as the same thing. Whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, but it's up to you. You invest in that, it's going to be something very precious to you and a big investment for you. But if not, then we will be just civilized, nice, but that's not what it is. It's love from the heart. I wish I could go deeply in that. I'm just giving you just headlines because I want to focus on things in the end. But I'll go through this quickly. Number two, in keeping the unity of the church, is by refusing to gossip. How important that is. How important that is. Very important, huh? I've seen gossip destroy families, let alone churches, communities, work. I have to choose not to gossip about anyone because it's my family. It's my family, my brothers and sisters. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Let nothing negative, let nothing that's not building others. Any word that is said to, that's how we build each other. Our goal should be building each other, that every word is encouragement, it's lifting up, is encouraging. Gossiping make other people look bad, that I look good, but in the end, I told people before, it's like you have something sharp and you're cutting in the body of Christ. Just hurting the body of Christ when you do that, especially this gossip. And the third one, which is the most important of all of them, okay? By following the leaders. Got your verse from the Bible here, okay? Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. When you're supporting the leadership, you are supporting yourself. When a wife submits to her husband, it's not because her husband is better than her, or stronger than her, or wiser than her, but it's a role. Someone must lead. And I appreciate every single member who comes and says, I pray for you all the time. There is not a single day that I don't pray for you. Said, I do need it more than anyone else. Because without that, no one can. I cannot do it without these prayers. I rely on these prayers. Okay? That's keeping the unity. But someone can hear something and, yeah, some talks hear about the leadership and making other people just doubt the leaders, and it's not going to help. It's just diffusing the family very, very quickly. Leaders are not perfect. By saying following the leaders doesn't mean that they are perfect. They're not, far from perfect. But someone must lead. And we have to support that the leadership could go in a way that God wants it to go. So second point in being a member is sharing the responsibility of my church. Sharing the responsibility. As I said, guests, they come, eat, leave. Members, they eat, they don't leave the dishes, right? They take them to the sink take care of them, there is some responsibility over the members. The first responsibility is praying for its growth, and maybe add next to growth and health. Of course, the health of the church makes the church growing. Okay, so when I say, when we say growth, it's health. Healthy plant, grow. Healthy kids, grow. Anything healthy, grow. So we pray for the health and the growth of the church. In 1 Thessalonians, it says to the church, we always thank God for you and pray for you constantly. Church is your family, same way you pray for your family, for the health of every member, for the growth of every member. Same thing with the church. It is our responsibility. What you pray for is what's important to you. And if the church is not part of your prayer, then it's not important to you. You pray for what is important, dear to you, what you love sincerely. That's why God said, love, pray for your enemies. Why? Because when you do that, you will end up loving them. Because you can't stand in front of God and fake it. And you pray for someone and you don't really mean it. It doesn't happen. So prayer makes a big difference in that. Okay? Number two, by inviting a church to attend. On a church, it is not a word, but it's you understand what it means, right? Because there is, you can say, I don't want to say non-believers or anything like this, because now you insult people who don't go to church. So the nicest word is unchurched. You just don't have a church. Good people, but just don't have a church. Inviting the unchurched to attend. By this, you do actually the response. What is the responsibility of the church? To look after the lost sheep, right? Do you think that two poor priests can take care of 2,000 people and go search for the people in the community that they need some help and they need some invitation? Absolutely not. Plus, you know, if I knock at someone's door or greet someone, they're already afraid of me. I see people who's like big people with tattoos. They look at me and they're like, you're more weird. So, can't do it, sorry. You have to do it. Yeah, when I cut off on someone on the road by mistake, by accident, and then they're ready to, you know, to kill me. They come and see me. I look at this and they, hi. So it helps. That's amazing. Like big people, okay, they're like so terrified. But young people, somehow they're like attracted to us and say, Jesus, are you Jesus? Are you God? I hear this all the time. So it's nice. The master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in that my house will be full. This is what God wants, to invite others to his house. That's our job, our responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the church, it's my responsibility. It's amazing when someone joined the church and just new to the church and I find him or her inviting already other people. You're still new. You're not even a member yet. You know, it's amazing. The third is by warmly welcoming those who visit. As it says in Romans 15:7, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. If the church is not warm, there's something wrong. This church will not grow. And the warmth of the church depends on every and each one. Whether we just want to be superficial and, you know, just be nice to everyone and anyone, or want to be really warm. There is a difference between high, and there is a difference between a good shake and how are you, good to see you, makes a big difference. God wants us to accept one another, even if we are so different from each other. Thing is, it's hard to accept people. Why? Why it's hard to accept one another? Why? Because people are weird, right? People are weird. That's what we say. What's going on with air condition? We have air condition here. Where is Andrew? They're doing like this. Abuna Anthony would never allow this. I'm fine, but you know. He's going to ask me, what was the temperature? Did you give the sermon? I say yes. What was the temperature? So I have to report that. Third point is, I, as a member, will serve the ministry of my church. How is that? By discovering my gifts and talents. Church has a ministry to do. We do our ministry through the gifts and talents of different people. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. God gave you gifts in order to serve with these gifts in His house, in the house of God, your brothers and sisters who are here in the household. That's why you are gifted. That's why we call it gift. It's a gift from God to use it. Okay, so I'm sure everyone has gifts. Are they being used in here or not? You go into a handyman's house, everything is neat, nothing broken, all the windows and doors, they open properly, all of this, because he's a handyman. He does that all the time. Second is by being equipped to serve. You cannot serve without being equipped. How do we get equipped? By learning, by growing, by attending training, by accepting that, by accepting the teaching of the church. God gave some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of ministry. God gave the leaders gifts to serve. God made pastors and teachers, God prepared that they may prepare people for work of ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up through the teaching that you receive. What do you do with this? That builds you up, that equip you for the ministry. And the third point is by developing a servant's heart. Developing a servant's heart. That my mission, my existence here in the church. Why do I exist here? Why did God bring me here to this church? To serve other people. Of course, in the beginning, to enjoy what is there in order to grow. But when I grew to maturity, I have a responsibility to do, right? And this responsibility is developing a servant's heart. Each one should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who took on the very nature of a servant. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. It's a beautiful house where you enter and you find everyone is trying to serve each other. Everybody's fighting to do the chores, not fighting to throw them on each other. That's the attitude of being a family, a member in a family. The last one is, I will support the mission of the church, of my church. What is the mission of my church? What is the mission of, for example, what is the mission of this church? First, I have to know what is the mission to support it, right? What does this church do, for example? Wow, we do a lot of things. We preach the word of God to people, believers and non-believers. We help support families, right? Support the family, the household of God, every single family, from all aspects. Support other people. We do mission inside, outside, like within the country and abroad. We have a school because of the same thing, to do mission, to spread the word of God, not only to our community, but furthermore. We have clinics to help those who have no health insurance, for example. We help the poor locally or outside, all over Africa, Egypt, anywhere, right? There is a responsibility, there is a mission for the church. And we have a big mission here in our church that God gave us, not only to help people, but to help churches. God gave us this mission, that we are helping not only people, but churches. A lot of churches are taking the same route we are taking. They're just following our footsteps. It's a blessing from God. I felt that when I went to Kenya, and I met people from London, Germany, and just Australia, different parts of the world over there. And I found with them in their Bible, like the quiet time sheet that we have, or the training guide that we gave for mission, and so on. Okay, so how do I support the mission of my church, whatever the church is doing? Basically, by attending faithfully. If the mission of the church is to help and bring the unchurched and bring people, then me attending makes a big difference. Okay? We could invite all the people in our community, but when they come and they find no one, what would they feel like? Like a stranger, what is this? No, they feel part of the family. What do you do if you invite people from inside, guests, and you don't stay in the home? How does that sound? It's not good. It's not nice. Right? It's not doable. No one does that. So invite others. I have to be there first before them. Let's not give up on the habit of meeting together, but let us encourage one another in getting together. And by living a godly life, that's how we support the mission of the church. We are actually a marketing tool for the church, that the church of God, that Christ, Jesus, can make people good, can make people live differently by our example. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's how you reach out to others. And finally, by giving regularly. People from outside, guests, they come and they consume, they eat, they drink, things like this, but maybe they bring a gift, but they're not going to pay the mortgage of your house because they came and visited for half an hour, right? Who would does that? People who are in the family. It's their responsibility. Not as someone who's doing a favor for God or for the church or for people, but as a commitment that this is my body, this is my household. On the first day of every week, that's what St. Paul said, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up. That's the collection on the first of the week, which is Sunday. And then, of course, as you know, that the first obligation for people, for the house of God to be running, is the tithe, the 10%. A tithe of everything belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. Why? That the house of God may be running and can support people. So that's just quickly the whole membership thing and our responsibilities as members and how to belong to a body. It's an investment. If you invest in it, you're gonna reap the fruits of that. And if you don't, you're not going to belong, which is so important. Just as believing. That's fine, and that sounds my commitment. But this is what to do. But what do I get back in return? Because you don't want to invest in the family, and all what you get in the family is nothing in the end, and there is no unity. Nobody talks to anyone, and no one wants that. What you get in return is that life of kinonia, the fellowship, is the family's life. But how do I do that within a church that's 2,000 members? How do I care for some people and just be there for them all the time and be committed to them? How do I do that? This is how it was done in early church, as it says here. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They continued on the apostles' doctrine, attending the church, and fellowship. That's the key word. In the breaking of bread and prayers, now all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily, every single day, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Fellowship, almost on a daily basis, going from house to house. And the Lord brought people every single day to the church. Said also that in daily, in a temple, in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. As I said, you could do all of this. You could come to church every single week, but you don't belong. Unless you have this fellowship, that relationship with other believers, with other members, unless you have this apostolic life, that there are people that I practice the commandment of love with, that I share with them my life. How do we do that? We do that through something called small groups. Sure, you've heard that before. Basically, the fellowship or the kinonia is impossible within a big church that's 2,000 members. No way. But you could have a group of people that get together on a regular basis, open up, they talk, they discuss God, they pray with one another and pray for each other. They're accountable to each other, they're encouraging each other, they're supporting each other wherever there is need, especially in tough times. That is the kinonia, that's the fellowship. And that's where you reap actually the fruits of you belonging in the church. As I said, small groups for a lot of you is something well known, even though it's not defined really well. But it's a small group of people, maximum 12 people, 4 people to 12. They get together on a regular basis in a house, you know, so it's something intimate. They study and they discuss a spiritual topic together. They pray together. They sing together. Sometimes they pray together. And, of course, if they're very successful, they eat together, they serve together, they grow in the spirit and also in number. So the small group, that's why it's called a small group, becomes a big group. What happens? Splits. And each group grows and splits. It's like the cell effect, or I don't know what you call it, the cell growth. Anyone helps me here? Okay, so cell, 1 becomes 2, 2 becomes 4, and this is actually amazing. This is how, there is the monasticism started slowly in the early centuries, until a Coptic saint or leader called St. Pachomius, he started something called the life of kinonia. What is the life of kinonia? In monasticism, he would get the monks together in small groups. And then they grow, they split. They grow, split. Grow, split. And the monks and monasticism grew and become thousands during his time. Even in monasticism, they have to be together in groups and so on. So, as I said, we started that 4 years ago in the church. I was very, very successful. And the benefits of small groups to individuals and to church is just amazing, beyond talking. And it keeps everyone in the church connected to each other. Today, this year you're in this small group, next year in another small group, you get to know people, get closer to them, become a friend, become an accountability partner to them, pray together, serve together, be with each other in a time of need. You have strong relationships and friendship in Christ, that He is the center of these relationships. Not for gossip and not just for talk and not just for friendship. Not that I need more friends, not that I need more people, but I need to belong to a body, the body of Christ. When parents have 2 kids, they take care of them. But when they have 12, anyone here was in a family of 12 or more? Oh good, there is someone. What do you do when they're 12? We have 2 and we run like we run around like crazy. So what did you do? How did they raise 12? They raise each other. Very good. That's what they do. Do you think that 2 parents can raise 12 and work and do everything? Absolutely not. They take care of each other. That's the same. 2 poor priests cannot do anything, okay? But older brothers, they can take care of others. We can encourage each other. That's one last story. I will finish with that to tell you just the importance of small groups. Is that poor man who used to come to church and know no one in the church except myself. Only me. Doesn't know anyone. Sits in the church quietly, no one knows him, he leaves right away. Anyone, he says hi, sigh quickly and leaves right away. Okay? Till one day, got sick, was in the hospital for a couple of weeks. That time I was traveling, wasn't around, didn't see him for some time, forgot all about him, came. Months and months after he came, he said, "What's going on? I don't like this church. I'm not coming again." "What's wrong?" He said, "No one asked about me. I was in a hospital. No one just checked on me, and you did not check on me." Of course, I cannot do, and you know, he understands that, or he doesn't. Just this is the situation. I can't help it. But I thought to myself, did he ask about anyone? Did he check on anyone? Did he help anyone? Why does he want people to check on him? Was he there for anyone? And in the end, his was the loss. Church continued the same. Church grew. More people are coming. More people are like connected to each other. But it was his problem. It was his fault. It was his mistake. It's his choice. So we hope that no one falls into this category ever, to become a loner in the body of Christ. In the church of God, He does not want that. And that will never help, will never build up anyone. That being said, I'm done now. So we'll show you a quick video clip and then let you go. got it? We're starting a campaign called the 12 campaign, 1 Corinthians 12:12. Everything is going to be 12, you know, starting end of September. You know, we're going to talk about the 12. What is the 12? We're going to let you know, but you can consider it 1 month, 1 accord, 2 months. 1, 2. 1 accord for 2 months, okay? That's what we want to do. And it's the life of the apostles, how they lived that. So it's coming soon. We're going to start in the mid of October. But before we do that, everyone in the family must sign up for a small group. Even if you were in a small group, or you are in a small group already, you have to sign up again, because we might do it a little bit differently, or just change the distribution a little bit. So everyone has to sign for a small group. People sign up for a small group, join a small group, they're part of the family. If they're not, they are honored guests. We value them, we appreciate them, you know. That's it. Okay? So let's just conclude with a prayer, or there's more stuff coming. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your church, for your body, Lord, that you established for us, that we belong, Lord, to a great entity, that you are the head of it. Lord, give us to never to be scared of people, as long as we're meeting them, Lord, in your body and in your presence, Lord. Give us to grow in loving you and knowing you and in loving each other, Lord, that we may live heaven here on earth, that we may have a taste of heaven where love and joy will be. I thank you, Lord, for everyone here. I thank you for every member in this church who's actively, Lord, serving and participating in everything. And I pray, Lord, that you add more and more those members who are needed, Lord, in the same body, that your body would be complete, Lord, and growing more and more to your image, Lord, to the shape that gives you joy, Lord, that you should be proud, that you would be proud of your body. Pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the intercession of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all your saints. Hear us and pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, I in the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Just two